couple of his buddies into Babylon. Daniel knew when he went there, they would be faced with some decisions to go against what God's word had told them to do. So Daniel here, particularly dietary and drinking and so forth and that type of thing. So Daniel here in the story, it comes up, and he and his buddies, instead of just being defiant, they asked the man that was over them, listen, why don't you let us try a different diet? And let us prove it for 10 days and then check it out. And if we're healthy and we're doing fine at the end of 10 days, you make the decision. In other words, he was making a wise appeal as opposed to just saying, no, I'm not going to do that. He said, why don't you let me try our way and let's see how it works. And it worked out. Now, let's look at the verses in Daniel chapter 2. Verse 26 to 28, and then we'll read verse 48. We'll read the verses, and then we'll go back and we'll give you some principles. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, art thou ever to make known unto me the dream which I have seen in the interpretation thereof? Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the musicians, the soothsayers show unto the king. But there is a God in heaven. I like that phrase. There is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. And he goes through and tells him what the story is, what the dream is, and gives him the interpretation. Verse 48. Then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many gifts, made him ruler over the province of Babylon, and chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. In chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. He doesn't know what the dream is or the interpretation. And so he tells all of his wise men, astrologers, hey, come in here. Tell me what the dream is. Tell me what the interpretation is. None of them can do it. So Nebuchadnezzar says, fine, kill all of them. That's kind of how Nebuchadnezzar rolled, okay? If he got upset, it's like, kill everybody, we'll start over. Well, Daniel hears this and he says, hey, wait a minute. Why don't you give me a chance to come tell you? He prays about it with his buddies. God gives him the answer. He goes. He tells Nebuchadnezzar exactly what the dream is, gives him the interpretation. It's actually a dream showing the leaders of the future world leaders and their kingdoms, and ties into prophecy. And so he makes Daniel a great man. Now, look at Daniel chapter 5 and verse 29. Then commanded Belteshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck, and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be third ruler in the kingdom. Same thing, Belteshazzar sees a hand with writing on the wall because he was being defiant to God. He brings Daniel in. Daniel gives the interpretation. It's not a good one. The king promotes him, and sure enough, that night, the kingdom is changed. It turns hands and gets into the Medes and the Persians. And then Daniel chapter 6, we'll read these verses. We know this story well, Daniel in the lion's den. Says, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. So Darius, very organized, he had 120 guys he divvied up his kingdom to. And over these, three presidents, of whom Daniel was the first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, that the king should have no damage. So he has his level of 120 leaders, then he has his three leaders, and really out of those guys, Daniel's like the top dog. He's like right under Darius, because of the type of man that he is. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. The king's like, I'm going to have this guy run everything, and I'll just sit back and drink lattes. That's in the Hebrew. You got to see that. And then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find none occasion nor faults for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault on them. Then said these wise men, we shall not find any occasion against Daniel except we find it against him concerning the law of our God. So now Daniel, in this story, of course, because he's kind of put up as a leader, the guys underneath him are jealous. And they're like, well, we got to find a way to kind of set him up and take him out so that he is not over us. And you know the story, and they come up with a plan, which we'll look at in a minute. Now, as I mentioned before, as we come to the end of this year and we look into next year, I would hope we want to be successful in our lives as Christians. Not if listen, by the way, if we get the world success without being a good Christian, we've been sold a bill of goods. We have been. We want to be successful in the way that God wants us to be successful. And there are certain things and characteristics and qualities we ought to have that bring us into this. By the way, if you're a Christian, that ought to be your goal in life. Wherever you go, there ought to be just something different about you. Something different in a good way. Now, there's something usually different where people, if we live our light, if we live our life right, we will be a light. And that irritates people that live in darkness. That's just all, there's all, and some worse than others. But there's always going to be something, particularly in a work situation, whatever, where people are, even if they don't like it and irritates them, they just say, there's just something different. There's something good going on there. And they may not like it, but they like what's, they deep down in their heart, that's kind of what they want. They just don't know how to get it. And so that ought to be us as Christian. The Bible is always our guidepost to light, to lead us on our way. So we look at characters in the Bible, particularly those in non-ideal situations. We learn from them what it takes to be a success in our situation. Daniel is one of those characters. Daniel, really, of all the characters in the Bible, there's a lot of good ones. There's really only a couple that there's really nothing negative said about them. Daniel's one of them, and Joseph is another. And both of those men thrived in less than ideal situations. You realize when Daniel was taken in to Babylon, that area where he was at was taken over by several different leaders. Changed, even changed from the Babylon to the Medes and Persians. But no matter who he served under, Daniel's a constant. He's always right there, and he's always helping and being in charge because of the type of individual that he was. Same thing with Joseph. You look at Joseph. No matter what situation Joseph was placed in, Joseph always ended up rising to the top. He was always right there. It's not because of who they knew. Well, okay, yeah, it is. But it's not because of physically who they knew. It's because of spiritually who they knew and what it caused them to be. Because they knew God and they had that character in their life, they were success. Daniel was constantly promoted and favored. He outlasted kings. He outlasted kingdoms. So, looking through these stories, what are some things that we ought to incorporate in our life, which Daniel incorporated into his life, which made him a success? Look at the paper there, and I'll give you a couple. Number one, he was fearful of disobeying God's laws. He was fearful of disobeying God's laws. You know, it just seems in our society, we judge success by achievements. It doesn't matter how you get there. You ever hear the phrase, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying, okay? That sounds good, but I don't want to be around a cheater. I don't want to be around a cheater. I don't like bike racing. I don't. First of all, the clothes the guys wear disturb me. They're just disturbingly tight, and I'm not wearing those. Okay, we won't go any farther. But Lance Armstrong went through cancer, and I think he won a bunch of Tour de France, and he was supposed to be a really good guy. Come to find out, he was doing this blood doping and some other things he was doing. He found out he was cheating. I was listening to a story about that, and they said that if you took the race, one of the races he was in, and you disqualified all the people that cheated, the guy that finished like 30th would have been in first place. They were all doing it. But that doesn't make it right. See, we're so result oriented, we don't care how we get the results. Can I just tell you something? Yes, we should be. Yes, President Clinton, another one of my favorite presidents, he was actually reelected even though people were not liking his lifestyle because the economy was okay. So it doesn't matter if he lied and did all these other things that were nonsense. You know, it used to be character was important. Yeah. It used to be if a president many years ago would have been caught in half of those things, they would have been forced to resign. Oh, yeah. Now it's like, oh, hey, what does it matter? As long as he's achieving results, who cares what kind of character a person has? Well, God does. Now, if you're unsaved, that's one thing, but we're Christians. Daniel was definitely not one of those. We looked at verse 8, And this is the key to the whole of chapter 1. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portions of the king's meat. You see, the Jews were under strict dietary requirements by law, God's law. And Daniel knew when he got to Babylon that that was going to be tested. But long before he ever got to Babylon, Daniel had already purposed in his heart that if that situation arose, the answer is no. You get that? He purposed in his heart. It didn't wait until they said, hey, listen, here's what you got to drink and here's what you got to eat. And he's like, oh, man, that violates God's law. What am I going to do? He had already decided long before that offer was put there that if it ever comes up, the answer is no. He put God first. He put God's laws first. See, you know what many of us do? We wait until the offer is made, then we make up our mind. I don't need to make up my mind. If I go somewhere and someone offers me a drink, the answer is going to be, of course. I don't want to offend people. The answer is no. I made that decision a long time ago. I work at the church, so I'm off on Sundays. But, you know, I had made a decision. I'm not going to take a job where I work on Sundays. That's a decision I made. So if that was ever there, it's like I'll just pass on that. But whatever the decision you make, let's not put everything it's up for debate or just, well, you know, I'll wait and then I'll kind of decide. No, why don't we decide ahead of time? If something is right, see, that's what a conviction is. A conviction is when you say, here's something God says, and so I'm going to make that a part of my life, and the answer is already no. If someone tries to get me to do something and scripture says no, I don't have to debate it. I've already decided that right here. No. See, because when we get pressed into a decision and the emotions get involved and all these things are flying at you, you're going to, but I've always been, if someone pressures me on something, the answer is no. I'm going to back away. That's good when you're dealing with salesmen, right? Oh, you know, hey, gosh, you're going to get on that. No. I'm thinking about it. You're not doing it just because you pushed me into doing it. And so Satan does that sometimes. Something is thrown at us, and that pressure comes. But if we've already made the decision that it's no, it's just easy. It just comes out. No. No. Not going to do it. That's what Daniel did. He did not want to break God's laws. He was fearful of breaking God's laws. Who else in the Bible was like that? We mentioned him earlier. Joseph. Genesis 39 and verse 9, when Potiphar's wife was throwing herself at Joseph, and he says, there is none greater in the house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How can I then do this great wickedness and sin against God? He said, I ain't doing it because I'm not sinning against God. I'm not doing this great wickedness. He had decided in his heart, and so when she threw herself, the answer is no. That's where we need to be. No. That's what God wants from him for the church. In Ephesians chapter 5, talking to the church, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. So let's look, if there's anything we ought to fear breaking God's law. It's like when you're driving down the street and you're keeping all the laws, but you see a police officer behind you, you still start thinking, don't you? Right? You're driving and like there's a police officer. It's like, I'm going the speed limit. Did I put the blinker on? Did I do everything right? Why? That's how we ought to live with God's laws. Now, not fearful, but just say, listen, I don't want to violate God's laws. And so here's the path I chose and here's what I'm going to do. So you want to get ahead? You want to be successful? Put God first and put his laws first and don't violate any of those to seemingly get ahead, because you're not getting ahead. And even if you do get ahead, you're not getting ahead in God's eyes, and that's going to come out in the end. He was fearful of disobeying God's laws. Number two, he was factual to give honor to God. I like that phrase. Verse 28 of chapter 2, we read it. But there is a God in heaven that reveals his secrets. Nebuchadnezzar didn't know that. Nebuchadnezzar thought, hey, this guy reads dreams. He'll fall asleep. I don't know what he does. If he throws rocks or he gets into a trance. I don't know what he does, but he can read dreams. And Daniel says, there's a God in heaven that reveals secrets. It's not me. God told me that. If we achieve a measure of success the worldly way by doing what we do, then who do we have a tendency to give the credit to? Ourselves. And by the way, we understand that God says he blesses hard work. And I understand that. You know, God works through us. We have to give him something to work with. You're not going to see God blessing someone at work who's lazy. Let me throw that at you. We're not going to see God blessing someone at work who's lazy. He's not going to do it. But on the other hand, just because you work hard doesn't mean God needs to bless you. But God chooses to bless you. And why don't you give God the glory for that? God does everything. That was our theme last year. And really, that's our theme this year. Let's lift Jesus Christ up and let's give him the glory in our community. Give God the glory. There's just too much stuff where we want to talk about ourselves, and you know how I feel about that, you know, and you know, we're never going to have, you know, Steve Myers Ministries, Robert Ramirez's anointing oil. This is not about that. Okay, it's Jesus Christ Ministries. Amen. Well, let's give him the glory, because we are, you know what we are? We're a bunch of nothings. Yep. And if you add us all together, 100 times zero is still what? Zero. Okay? So, you know, hey, man, what's going on at the church? Everything at church is going good. How do you guys do that? I have no idea. Now, I do have an idea. We do the best we can. But you know what? God just kind of intervenes and takes over. Oh, yeah. If you can explain what you're doing, then God isn't doing it. I'll give you this 10 steps. By the way, you can do all 10 steps. And they could be good 10 steps, and still nothing good will happen. Yeah. You need the good 10 steps, and you need God to get behind it and say, I'm going to bless that. We got to have a good heart. We got to have right motives. We got to want him to get the honor and glory. And so whatever we do, let's give God. Now, you know, when someone sings a good song, if they walk by, it's like, wow, hey, that was a great song. Thanks for singing that tonight. Now, that's normal. Okay? Thank people for putting the effort in. But I like, you know, though, well, you know, just give all the glory to God. And let's give all the glory to God. Let's be factual about it. Let's not take any of the glory for ourselves. You know, I like sports, but it's like, you watch a football game, and every time a guy gets a first down, he's got to celebrate. Man, it's a first down, okay? Shut up and get back to the huddle and do something else, you know? And they do all this stupid stuff to draw attention to themselves. It's like, really? Okay, well, look it. And you're going to get me off on a tangent here. But most of those guys would be asking you if you wanted extra fries with your hamburger if they didn't have physical skills. Okay, I'll just honest with you. These guys can't string a sentence together. They go do stupid things. They're immoral. They're ungodly. And just because they can jump higher than somebody else or catch a football, they're a big shot. Not in my book. Okay, if you have good athletic skills, love God too. And show, but that's a thing for another story. But it's all about them. Okay, no, it's not about them. And for us, it shouldn't be about us. It ought to be about God. Let's make sure God gets the glory for everything that happens here and everything that happens in your life. Number three, Daniel was also favored for his good attitude. I like this. Daniel chapter 6, verse 3. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over all the realm. I mean, Daniel just had, you ever just meet somebody, they just got a good spirit, right? Look, now there's a lot of guys I met, and I don't want him to get a fat head. You know, Brother Chim has a good spirit. I remember when I coached our sports teams, he was on our team, and he always had a good spirit. I remember he didn't want to play football, and I encouraged him to play football. He was on my basketball team. He goes, man, I don't want to play football. It's not my sport. I said, that's fine. I coach basketball too. And if you don't play football, you're not going to play basketball. He goes, you know what? Let's give that thing a try. I remember, I don't know if you remember this, Charlie, we were at the park, and I think we're playing Lancaster, and it's a close game, and someone made a mistake, and I thought it was you. And I called timeout, and I had the team together, and I chewed you out. I said, what are you doing, Chim? I told you to do this. And one of the guys said, hey, Brother Myers, I said, hey. And Charlie told the guy, be quiet. And I'm chewing Brother Chim out, and then as soon as the huddle walked away, this guy walked up to me and said, that wasn't Brother Chim, that was me. I'm like, well, Brother Chim did something earlier he shouldn't have done, so, you know. But Brother Jim didn't say, he had a good spirit. And I had guys in the team. I like guys like that. You know, they have a good spirit. Hey, let's go out there. All right, let's go. A negative spirit just is horrible. It's like, man, you could walk in and we're all excited. And then this person walks in. It's like they just suck the life out of you. It's like, man, let's have a good spirit. You say, well, things aren't going well. Have a cup of coffee and get on the train. Let's go. Okay. You say, well, everything's bad. Keep it to yourself. Think of something good. By the way, years ago I mentioned I got a job at a warehouse, and I wish I had this problem today. They were really concerned about me because they said I was too thin. Now I wish that was a story today, but it wasn't. I had to go like 5 interviews, and the last interview I did with the guy that actually ran the crew, I talked to him, and he said, "You know what?" He goes, "You're Johnny's friend, right?" He goes, "Yeah." He goes, "You know what? Johnny's got a good spirit. He comes in here, he just works hard, doesn't cause any trouble. If you're his friend, I'm going to give you a shot." Good attitude. By the way, people like that. Yep. If you have to be around somebody, even quiet people, you know, they're not jump all up and stand on their head. They like to be around people that have a good spirit. And so let's have a good spirit. A rotten attitude kills. It'll kill the workplace. You ever work somewhere where there's just a person that's, by the way, pray that it's not your boss. Man, if you have a boss with a horrible attitude, it's going to be miserable working there, right? It's bad enough when you have fellow workers that have a bad attitude. It's just like, man, I mean, it'd be good around here if it wasn't for you. I heard somebody one time, a pastor, say, listen, if I had someone on my staff that had a bad spirit, a bad attitude, and I couldn't fire him because, you know, his dad, whatever, he goes, I would rent him an office 5 miles away from the church and pay him a salary to sit over there and do nothing. Because a bad spirit spreads. Daniel, just being around him, it's like, this guy's got it. He's got a good spirit. And so let's have a good spirit. Attitude is not a result of your circumstances. Our attitude should transcend them. We all go through bad things. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 to 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. So watch your attitude. Some people say, well, you don't understand how I was raised. I was raised in such a way, we can get over that if we're Christians. Now, it doesn't mean we're bubbly and we're always talking. And there's some people that are just naturally like that, okay? I mean, they just kind of, they wake up in the morning and then they take off. And you can be quiet and have a good spirit. So let's just have a good spirit. Number 4, we see that Daniel was faultless in his character. I like this about him. We get to Daniel chapter 6, where the presidents are trying to, you know, they were jealous about him, and so they're trying to find fault with him. It's like, let's dig into his past. But, you know, kind of like when a Republican is running for president, it seems like they don't dig into the Democrats very much. But if it's somebody that has a little bit of moderation to them, they kind of dig into their, hey, let's look in the closet, see if we can find any skeletons. And by the way, usually you can find skeletons. Well, that's what they're going to do to Daniel. They're like, aha, we're going to check this guy out thoroughly, and we're going to find some fault for him, and we can take it to the king, and he'll get knocked down a notch or two. Well, verse 4, then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. That was his work for the king. That was his job. But they could find none occasion nor fault, insomuch as he was faithful. Neither was there any error or fault found in him. Think about that. They went through his life like with a fine tooth comb. And they couldn't find anything on him in the way that he worked. He did everything right on, the way you're supposed to do it. No, didn't take side. He did everything the way he was supposed to do. Faultless. How about us? What if someone were to check through on us? Everything we do. Do we do it right? Take shortcuts? Are we deceitful with our boss? What are we doing? By the way, when it comes to even in a business sense, that's a biblical principle. Look at the verses there, I think we have on your sheet in Proverbs. A false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. Proverbs 20, verse 10. diverse weights and diverse measures, both of them are alike abomination to the Lord. Verse 20:23, diverse weights are an abomination unto the Lord, and a false balance is not good. In other words, when you would go to the marketplace in those days, they didn't have scales like we had. And so they had like the balance scale. And if you were buying a pound of rice, they would put a little, they had a little 1 pound rock they would put here, and then they would put the rice until it scaled, and that was a pound. But they had two different ones. If they were buying from you, their 1 pound weight was a little heavier, so they get a little bit more out of you. But when they were selling it to you, the 1 pound weight was a little lighter, so you were getting a little bit less than a pound. So they had different weights depending on whether they were buying or selling. And God says, that's an abomination. That's dishonesty. That's having fault in our life. Proverbs 22, verse 28. Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. Same thing. They had these landmarks which would mark their boundary of their land. And so if someone wanted to take a little of your land, they would just slowly move the landmark a little by little so you wouldn't notice it. Be honest. Years ago, there was this, when we first moved to California, there was this Christian used car lot. I knew someone that worked there. And they were all over the Christian radio. And they were supposed to be reputable. So my mom was getting a car there, and I threw the guy, and I saw the car, and the tires on the front, the inside of the tires were bald. And I'm like, we won't buy the car unless you change the tires. And the guy told me, he goes, I'll put new tires on there. I'm like, great. So my mom was going to get the car, and it's like, hey, check the tires. Make sure they switch the tires in the front. Check the front tires. Make sure that they're not rounded anymore. So my mom goes and gets the car, and sure enough, she checks the front tires. They were good. She drove the car off the lot. She brought it home. I checked it out. You know what they did? They took the tires from the front and put them on the back. By the way, that company got caught for fraudulent things, and it was a big, it was bad. But they were just, they used the name of Christ to sell cars, and then they were dishonest. Let's be faultless in what we do. When you're at work, if you're telling your boss something, be honest with them. Do your work right. Have him have, years ago we used to, and I don't know why we did it. I'm glad we don't. We had girls' basketball team. Now, our girls couldn't play basketball very well, but we tried. And, we would press and all. It was crazy. And we were good. We would get a lot of steals, and we'd take four times as many shots as the other team, but we couldn't make any of them. The other team would always win. But I remember one time I'm coaching it, and we went down there, and one of our girls went up for a shot, and the ref called foul, and I'm like, all right, we need these points. Go to the foul line, and let's see if you can make one. And then all of a sudden, I see a little conference, and the other team inbounds the ball. I'm like, there was a foul called. And so the ref came by, I said, hey, what happened? You called a foul. Why? What? He goes, your girl came over and told me the girl didn't foul her. I'm like, man, I preach honesty, but I didn't mean that honest. But I'm like, hey, well, she's being honest. Let it go, okay? The other team wasn't quite that honest either, by the way. Number five, Daniel also was faithful in his conduct. Faithful. The same verse we read where it talked about him being fault, not having fault, for as much as he was faithful. You know, faithfulness is a hard trait to find. You know what a faithful person is? They're where they should be, doing what they're supposed to do when they're supposed to do it. Faithful. You could work somewhere and have all the talent in the world. You could be the best worker. But if you're unfaithful to your job, you're unfaithful in your work, I'd rather have somebody that's half as good as you, but they just show up and you know what you get from them each and every time. You know, these athletes, some of these guys are so skilled, they don't practice. They're just unfaithful. Let's be faithful to what we're supposed to be doing. Okay? Anybody can be faithful. You can show up when you're supposed to show up, to where you're supposed to show up, and give the best effort you can give every single time. That's all God asks. Proverbs tells us, but a faithful man, who can find? It has amazed me over the years and the places I've worked, and some guy will get hired, and like 2 weeks in, he misses work or shows up late. I'm like, you're kidding me. I would fire you. If you show up late when you're first hired, what's going to happen when you've been there a while? You know, show up late. I was a guy, my last job I had before I started working for myself, he worked on our shift, and the boss, he was in the office talking to him because he had been late like 75 times in the last year. Now, his thing was, hey, it's only 5 to 7 minutes, no big deal. That is a big deal. I just don't like being late. I never like being late to work. I'm going to show up, I'm going to be there, and I'm going to be there before work starts. Well, there's traffic. Can I tell you something? There's always traffic. See, what you do is you leave in such a way that if there's traffic, you'll still get there on time. Well, then that means I'm going to get there 10 minutes early. You know what they call that? Character. Do what you're supposed to do when you are supposed to do it. My grandmother taught me this lesson. When I was in first grade, the first 3 years of schooling for me, my mom, a single mom, she worked second shift. So we would stay over our grandparents Monday through Friday. My mom would come see us, but she was working after school. So we went to school where my grandparents worked. And I had an old school grandmother. She wasn't loud. She didn't hardly talk. But man, she was tough as nails. And my first day of first grade, I went into class. And I don't know why I didn't want to be there. And I started crying. Right over here, Dominguez Grade School over on Santa Fe. And I wouldn't stop. And the teacher tried to talk to me, and they talked. Finally, they called my grandmother and said, you got to come pick him up. So my grandmother comes over to the school. I was like 4 blocks from the house. She walked over. She got me out of school, and she didn't say anything. And I thought, man, that worked nice. She walked me home. She said, go to bed. 8:30 in the morning. Go to bed. Now, this is no television in the room, no iPad, and no nothing. And I was in bed until the next morning. She didn't yell at me. Go to bed. I go to school the second day. Now I'm a little dense. And I started crying again. I didn't want to be there. They called my grandmother. She came, picked me up, didn't say a word, went home. She said, go to bed. The next morning, I woke up after 48 hours of sleep. And you know what? I wanted to go learn. I went to school that third day, and I started to feel it. And I'm thinking, I am not spending all day in that stupid bedroom again. I'm going to stay here. Okay? By the way, our little kids whine, and we give them whatever they want. Okay, that didn't go over very well. Number six. We have a daycare. We know how that works. Number six. He had faith that was not compromised. Verse 5, then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against Daniel except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. I like that. Here's what they're saying. The only way we're going to get something on Daniel is we have to make a law that would cause him to violate God's law, because we know he won't violate God's law. I wish they'd do that against us. See, what happens in our society now, they start whining about a belief we have, and you know what we do as Christians? We back up. How many of you heard of Rick Warren? Rick Warren came out in 2008 when we were voting on Prop 8, and he said, he made a little video for biblical marriage. You know, he apologized for that the other day. That is characterless. I wish I wouldn't have made that video. Really? So you're not for traditional marriage anymore because people are calling you on the carpet for it? That sounds to me like he's not Daniel. When they come after us, you know what they're going to come after? Our beliefs. That's what they've done. That's why they go after the bakers now and say, we want you to bake a cake for our marriage, and it's two men, and they politely decline. We can't be a part of your marriage. That's not hating anybody. They come after them on purpose. You know why? They know they won't back up. Yeah. But it's funny how pastors are backing up now. Churches are backing up. Groups are backing up. Oh, you know, we just don't want to cause trouble. Well, you know, that wasn't Daniel. They told Daniel, you can't pray anymore. And Daniel said, watch. Daniel said, 3 times a day, it's still 3 times a day. Because you know why? God's law superseded everybody else's law. Now, the important thing isn't that he believed like that. The important thing is that others knew that he believed like that. We should never be mean-spirited to anybody. Seriously. But they ought to look at us and know, you know what? That person really believes what they say. Isn't that a good testimony to have? They may not agree with it, but if we're nice and kind to them, they'll respect it. But whenever we back up on it, then they say, aha, it wasn't real. And by the way, it might cause them to never come to God. And I wouldn't want to be the cause of that. Always stay straight. Let's be like Daniel, and maybe we can have a successful 2015. Let's pray.